Bhaktivedanta Swami Swami Iti Namini. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharini. Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pasyatyade Satarini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar. Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Reading from Canto 2, Chapter 3, and the text numbers that we're going to cover this morning are 15 and 16. A little review. Chapter 3 is entitled Pure Devotional Service. It follows in the sequence: first step of God realization, Lord in the heart, and pure devotional service, chapter 3. In the beginning, 12 verses of chapter 3, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking. He's summarizing what he has already answered in two chapters. That is, what is the subject matter that is to be heard, chanted, and remembered? And what is the duty of people in general and one who is about to die? He has answered those questions. He summarized the answers. And in very beautiful language, he has further given glorification of the process of devotional service and hearing Harikatha, which is essentially what Srimad Bhagavatam is. It's topics about the personality of Godhead. As Narada instructed Vyasa to compose such a literature, Srimad Bhagavatam is that literature. It's from beginning to end in every shloka, in every line, in every word, it's glorification of the personality of Godhead. And so, how powerful the effect is of hearing and chanting the topics of the personality of Godhead has been discussed by Shukadeva Goswami. So, yesterday we covered texts 13 and 14, and those verses are spoken by Shonaka, having heard this what happened situation from Sutta Goswami. They're appreciating that the sages headed by Shonaka are appreciating the answer, and they're also then, they want to hear more. Shonaka is saying, what did Maharaj Parikshit do next? After he heard the answer to this question, surely there were more topics of Krishna Katha. Because, well, Maharaj Parikshit is such a eager listener. Now, they said that about themselves also. Please continue to explain such topics to us because we are all eager to hear. They're not praising themselves. They're just describing their circumstance. They're eager to hear these wonderful topics. Why? Because these wonderful topics lead to the personality of Godhead. And that which leads to the topics of the personality of Godhead, the Sanskrit word in the shloka is udarkaha. Udarkaha, that results in the topics of the personality of Godhead. Udarka means light, so it leads to that position of illumination or realization of the personality of Godhead. The Puranas are such topics. They're histories, so in one sense one can look at them from a sadhanas from a material perspective, and they can't derive any value, nor can they give others any value from simply a material perspective. Persons who look at the pastimes of Krishna from a material perspective, or try to describe them from a material perspective, cannot, or even Bhagavad Gita, cannot derive transcendental benefit. So, the next two verses, this morning's verses, are going once again to a very important theme that we find particularly in the first two cantos throughout the whole Bhagavatam, but it's one of these refrain, hear it again, messages. You can't hear it too many times. That is, what's the qualification of an audience or a hearer of Srimad Bhagavatam? What's the qualification of the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam? It's very interesting. It's very telling that Vyasadeva's composed the Srimad Bhagavatam with this refrain. What's the qualification to hear? What's the qualification to speak? Again and again and again. It's so important as we're going through hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. What qualification do we have to bring to that exercise of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam to really get the benefit that Srimad Bhagavatam wants to give us? Again and again and again. Like, can't hear it enough. So, here we go. Here's the qualification. The first one is from yesterday's verse, that's eagerness. And the eagerness is because of their attraction for perfection. But even if there's not attraction for perfection, at least, according to Shonaka, one should hear on a regular basis, because it should be done. It's a duty. And that's the question Maharaj Parikshit should ask. That was the answer Shukadeva Goswami gave. What one should do, what's one's duty? To engage in devotional service. That begins with hearing and chanting. So, if we're in just the beginning sadhana stages, right? Those in the beginning sadhana stages should hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. Even better, with great eagerness. Because then one can derive the maximum benefit. Even if that great eagerness isn't just like chanting. Our chanting may be with great eagerness. It may just be dutiful. But regularly. Brings qualification, spiritual qualification into one's life. Like, people like to ask this question. It's a popular question. How does a householder, how do we practice Krishna consciousness? So one of the core activities of anyone's life is hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, chant the holy name regularly. Now we're also going to hear about worshipping the deity form of the Lord. So, that's in the next verse, text 15. This is Shonaka speaking to Suta Goswami about his appreciation for both Maharaj Parikshit and for Shukadeva Goswami. He starts with Maharaj Parikshit. He says in text 15, Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of the Pandavas, was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord. Even while playing with dolls, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. And in the purport, Prabhupada discusses the way of imitated the worship of the deity of Krishna in the home, just as a small boy. Specifically, it's described like that in the verse. In the purport, Jiva Goswami says, we have information that not only he imitated the worship of the deity, but when he would play with his friends, he would imitate the pastimes of Krishna, which means that he heard them. So he was, from childhood, hearing the pastimes of Krishna. And naturally then he enacted or played the pastimes of Krishna. He saw the worship of the deity, so therefore he imitated the worship of the deity of Krishna of his childhood. We know that even before he was born, he had attraction for Krishna. By Krishna's kindness, he appeared before him for him to actually see. So, that's the mention in the verse. He was attracted to Krishna even from his childhood, but that attraction was very, very nicely fostered or nurtured by the royal family. They set an example. They created an atmosphere where the child growing up would become Krishna conscious or would remain Krishna conscious just by the atmosphere created, generated by their good example. And Prabhupada says that this is the way that he experienced. It's the way that his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, experienced. He even says Mirabai, the celebrated Mirabai, was a staunch devotee of Lord Krishna as the great lifter of Govardhan Hill. Then he says there's always symmetry between the early lives of all great devotees of the Lord. So, Maharaj Parikshit was already a great devotee, but his life was molded in such a way by the royal family in which he grew up, that he would naturally develop and manifest fully the qualities of pure devotion. So the purport concludes with Prabhupada describing that there are these two categories of devotees, the Nityasiddhas, eternally perfected Mahabhagavata devotees, that's Maharaj Parikshit is in that category, and there's Sadhana Siddhas, and he's placing himself in that category, and others may be in that category. But then he declares that it doesn't matter, Nitya Siddha, Sadhana Siddha, Siddha is Siddha. So, it's a nice instruction for Krishna conscious families that this is their responsibility in, by inviting children to take birth in their families to set that example and thereby at least doing one's duty, creating an atmosphere where the small child, like Maharaj Parikshit, grew up with that atmosphere. Even while playing with dolls, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. Prabhupada was fond of describing this situation where in India, at least it used to be the tradition, that if persons had wealth, they would create a temple, a family temple. And especially this meant extended family. And so I've seen such a situation where there's a wealthy family and they have a separate dwelling or space where their family deity would be worshipped. And every morning the family members would go and pay their respects to the deity. And then at an appointed time there would be a family arti. Prabhupada commented the wealthy family had this practice or policy that if someone missed Mangal Arati, then they had to pay a fine. And wealthy people don't like to pay fines. They like to keep their money. But if you miss the Arati, you have to pay a fine. And the fine would just go to the maintenance of the deity. It wouldn't go to someone's pocket. But in this way, the family would discipline itself. It would, everyone agreed upon this principle. And so that's a discipline item, but just the fostering of Krishna consciousness by hearing and worshiping leads to an optimum circumstance where the children, and in this case it's Maharsh Parikshit, can grow in Krishna conscious stature. So Shonaka is glorifying the quality of Maharsh Parikshit. We are very eager. Maharsh Parikshit is the perfection of eagerness because of his natural devotion. And then as far as the speaker of this Hari Katha, Shonaka then glorifies Shukadeva Goswami. Verse reads, text 16, Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, was also full of transcendental knowledge. And he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, son of Vasudeva. So there must have been discussion of Lord Krishna, who was glorified by great philosophers and in the company of great devotees. So these, the sages, they're nectar hounds. They know that something, after Maharaj Parikshit's question was asked and then answered, there must have been more discussion. Why? Because Maharaj Parikshit is like us, very, very eager in Krishna consciousness. And Shukadeva Goswami is the qualified speaker. So surely there was this further discussion. What was that discussion? We're eager. So how does he know that Shukadeva Goswami spoke something more? Because he's highly learned. The phrase in the verse is Vasudeva Parayana. Just want to bring your attention to the fact that this phrase Vasudeva Parayana is a very important phrase in the whole of the Bhagavatam. Vasudeva Parayana or Narayana Parayana. It appears again and again and again. As I've been mentioning, when Vyasadeva does like this, as when Prabhupada would do like this, there's a certain effect. It gives us a resonating appreciation of complete attachment. It's the Mahabhagavata stage. Complete attachment. Vasudeva Parayana. When we hear that phrase, that's where our consciousness should go, our attention should go. This is the topmost stage of devotion. Shukadeva Goswami. He was full of transcendental knowledge and completely attached to the personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. So what do you expect when you come in contact with a topmost perfect stage devotee, Shukadeva Goswami? What's he going to do? He's going to speak something about the personality of Godhead. Guru Gaya Gunodhara. Prabhupada's word for word here, Guru Gaya, means of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who is glorified by great philosophers. The glory He knows Krishna's glories. He is a speaker of that, those glories. And he's in contact with Maharaj Parikshit. Surely they discussed wonderful topics. Please let us hear those wonderful topics. Satam Syur, he, the Mahagame, in the purport, Prabhupada spends time with these two phrases. Satam, how important the word Satam is. It indicates a pure devotee. Satam. That's another phrase. Satam prasangam mama virya sambidho bhavanti ritkarna rasayana kata ashjoshnat ash apavarga vartmani shratha ratir bhaktir anukramishati. Satam is a very important word in Vyasadeva's composition of Bhagavatam. Satam means pure devotees. So, in the company of pure devotees, here's Shukadeva Goswami before a whole assembly of great sages. Here's Maharaj Parikshit seated before him, about to die. He asked one question, got a fantastic two-chapter-long answer. Surely there were more topics. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam is to be discussed in such an assembly. That's the message. Prabhupada writes, Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee of the Lord from his very birth, and so was Shukadeva Goswami. Both of them were on the same level. Although it appeared that Maharaj Parikshit was a great king, accustomed to royal facilities, whereas Shukadeva Goswami was a typical renouncer of the world, so much so that he did not even put a cloth on his body. So, Prabhupada's explaining, it looks like they're at opposite ends of the spectrum. Here's an opulent king, and here's a renouncer. But as far as spiritual qualification, on the same level. Because of their, what's the qualification? Attachment to Krishna. This is Vasudeva Parayana. Completely attached to Krishna. Satam, pure devotees of the Lord. One can be a pure devotee of the Lord in this position, that position, and it's not a greater qualification, lesser qualification, what one's position is. Besides, their varna, the occupation of a king versus the occupation of a Brahmin. Aside from that, here's one who's asking questions, here's another who's giving the answers. From a spiritual perspective, from the Bhagavad perspective, attachment to Krishna is the real consideration, not who's in which position, speaking or listening. Attachment to Krishna is the real consideration. Therefore, Prabhupada speaks, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, both Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit were on the same, of the same category. Settled long before, although one was playing the part of a master and the other the disciple. Since Lord Krishna is the center of the topics, the words Vasudeva Parayana or devotee of Vasudeva suggests devotee of Lord Krishna, the common aim. He goes on, there were others assembled there, but these two are most outstanding because of their devotion to Krishna, their attachment to Krishna, their absorption in Krishna. And naturally, you put these two personalities together, something wonderful must have come out. So,
America is saying, we're very eager, please, go on, tell us more. What happened next? What topics did they discuss? Please share this with us. Because Sutta Goswami heard the whole narration. And this is the way of an audience like the sages who were not present at the passing of Maharishi Pariksit, how that audience can get maximum benefit. Their inquisitive spirit, their eagerness to hear, their understanding that in such an assembly, surely we recognize the qualification of Shukadeva Goswami. We recognize the qualification of Maharishi Pariksit. But we're also getting the benefit of understanding how, as sadhakas, we can advance more on the spiritual path, depending upon our at least regularity, if not eagerness to hear, and hear from the right source, recognize what that right source is. Here's the verse, the qualification of Shukadeva Goswami. Vyasaki cha Bhagavan Vasudeva Parayana Urugaya Gunodhara Satam Syurhi Samagame. There must have been discussion of Lord Krishna, who was glorified by great philosophers and in the company of great devotees. Very important subject matter in these two verses, the qualification of speaker, qualification of the hearer of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Any questions from the persons on the line here?
Literally, it means always. More liberally, it means regularly.
regularly, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So the cause of unsteadiness is abhadras or anarthas or unwanted things in the heart. Contact, Prabhupada calls it infection with the modes of nature and our previous material contact, or how we're being controlled and conditioned and influenced by the modes of nature and our past karma. That's the infection. Like, you know, a person with a disease, with an infection, will experience the, you know, the presence of that bacteria or virus or whatever the infection is. You know, why do I feel this pain? Because there's some infection. And what's the cure? The cure is certain medicine. That medicine is regularly Bhagavata Sevaya, rendering service to the book Bhagavata and the person Bhagavata. That's the medicine. Take the medicine with great care and attention, and the infection will subside. When the unwanted things of the heart are gradually cleansed, then the ups and downs will diminish. There will be more of a steadiness of eagerness.
Thank you so much, Kumar.
Yeah, so we're moving on the path of gradually decreasing our involvements with material existence in the mood of trying to enjoy it, or nivritti marg. This is another answer, another way of answering your question, another perspective on your question. As we move down the path of spiritual life, something that will help increase steadiness or decrease the ups and the downs is looking less towards the field of the material energy as an opportunity to enjoy. Instead, looking toward that, how can I gradually reduce my involvement in this disposition of enjoyment of the material energy? The other side is to increase my spiritual absorption, the qualitative and quantitative absorption in spiritual practice. And the Bhagavata Sevaya, in the purport for that verse, Prabhupada strongly emphasizes that there are two kinds of Bhagavatas. There's the book Bhagavata, and there's the person Bhagavata. But both are very important. Hear regularly from the book Bhagavata, and serve the person Bhagavata. Person who's making the message of the Bhagavatam manifest in this world, both by their speech and by their actions. Serve such personalities, and steadiness will result. The infection of the material existence will subside. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavat Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati. Nice to be. In its place of material attraction, bhakti will arise within the heart. When the light comes on, the darkness is dispelled, the unsteadiness, the ups and the downs will subside. Increasing the positive, decreasing the unwanted. Gradually, step by step. And steadiness. Do your sadhana very carefully. And that's vajana kriya. And as
of your devotional practices carefully, very attentively look to removing unwanted things from within the heart, anartha nivritti, on the strength of that devotional practice, the spiritual strength that you gain from your practices. And that steadiness of enthusiasm, steadiness of eagerness, that's how to nurture it. Hari's got a question. Go ahead, speak.
Maharaj, my question was that when we speak about Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Seva, do we, at least from the inner perspective, do we say specifically Srimad Bhagavatam or books that are in the line of it, like, you know, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita?
Yeah, Bhagavata means in relation to the personality of Godhead Bhagavan. From yesterday's verses, that understanding was clearly presented also. That literature, or that katha, which leads to the personality of Godhead, that's Bhagavata literature in relation to Bhagavan. The Srimad Bhagavatam is topmost literature, but certainly we can say the same Chaitanya Charitamrita. And those literatures in pursuance of Srimad Bhagavatam, the glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Bhagavata literature par excellence. It's the same. Anything else?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, sometimes I feel that though the eagerness is there, somehow or the other, I'm not able to absorb myself with the same intensity. I feel like I'm hearing, but somehow the messages are not entering my heart, and though I came there, or though I came with a lot of eagerness. Yeah, and I think about it, and it doesn't seem like it's due to some particular attachment or something else that I'm absorbed in. But it's just somehow that same absorption just doesn't come sometimes.
In Madhurya Kadambini, there's two terms, and I can't recall what those two terms are at the moment. One is where, one indicates where there's a particular affinity. Abhinivesh is the other term, and that means this kind of general affinity towards the material existence, towards enjoying material existence, or identifying with material existence. Yeah, raga is a particular attraction, and abhinivesh indicates this general, pervasive attraction to the glare of material existence. So, when you're assessing why this absorption isn't taking place, I don't see that my mind is going to a particular thing or another thing. While that may be the case, there may be this less discernible but pervasive absorption in material energy just due to such long material contact. Now, you know, take attachment to the body, the bodily conception of life. If we have a pain, then we're very clear that attachment to the bodily conception of life is like. We don't like this pain. We want this pain to go away. And maybe less noticeable in the background, there's this pervasive, simply due to such long-standing material contact, this wishing to be comfortable in the material world. And that spells happiness. So that's there. And that may rise and fall or increase and subside. And is it possible that that can be there side by side with an eagerness to hear? Certainly. Let's say, you know, you're on the one hand, you're very hungry and you're eager to take a meal. And on the other hand, there's some illness in the body. And that you may not be detecting that illness in the body, but if you're not, anyway, the effect of assimilating the nourishment that you've just taken in may be diminished by this illness in the body. That you're not necessarily, you know, particularly acutely aware of. But it's just, it's our material condition. And what do we do about that abhinivesh, that pervasive material condition? We trust in the power of devotional service that gradually that affinity for material existence will subside, particularly as our attentiveness in spiritual practice continues and the eagerness for hearing continues. That long-standing allurement or finding a happy situation in this temporary material world will fade. The last of the Chaturastoki verses expresses that idea explicitly. Bhagavad Gita. With the shining lamp of knowledge from within the heart, Krishna destroys that residual, lingering material inclination. We've been in contact with this material energy in the mood of enjoying it for an uncountable period of time. So it does require some faith, but that faith says, my material, the attraction, the ability to absorb with and on the strength of this eagerness to hear, there's progress. That experience nurtures faith, more faith. So continue. And the ups and the downs, the absorption and lesser absorption will move further and further into the absorption state. We just painfully continue. In other words, in short, there's not something that you're doing wrong, necessarily, or you need to work on to improve that situation. Just continue faithfully.
Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj.
A nice example that comes to mind is the Gundicha Marjana Leela. The second cleansing, the more subtle contaminations of heart, but it's not that the second cleansing, they did something different than the first cleansing. Is it, you know, technically or procedurally, basically the same thing? So just continue with the cleansing activity. Another way of describing the same thing. It's just another perspective on the same thing. There are two potencies of Maya. One is the covering potency, and the other is the throwing potency. Avaranatmika Shakti and Prakshekatmika Shakti. So, it's one thing to acknowledge in day-to-day life, for people that are absent of any Krishna conscious understanding, they're madly chasing after illusion. Illusory conceptions, illusory happiness, temporary pleasures, temporary bodies, temporary dwellings, temporary relationships, and like a shadow, in a flash, it's gone. And still they go on and go on. So the illusion of material life is one stage of, like the discussion yesterday evening, where Prahlad Maharaj was lamenting over the fact that people in general, that's their happiness. So one stage is recognizing that's illusion. And then there's this other stage of going more deeply into reality. So, you know, that contact with illusion has been there for so long. This, the covering, the throwing potency is placing the living entity in the material circumstance, and the covering potency is keeping the living entity there. So Maya keeps the living entity, but it also, you know, here we are. Look in any direction, what do you see? You see material energy. Look up, down, sideways, and forwards and backwards, and there's material energy. And we're accustomed to seeing that in relation to, or separate from Krishna. That consciousness, this is this pervasive thing, seeing things separate from Krishna. So, continue with the cleansing process, with the eagerness to hear process, and that will allow us to get free from this other Maya, the clutches of thinking separately from Krishna. is not fanatical. It's just reality as opposed to illusion. Spiritual reality. So we live our life religiously according to theistic conduct and ever searching for connecting with Krishna, accepting that that connection may not be so strong because of all of my material involvement for countless lifetimes. But the process is very, very potent. So let me stay with it very carefully. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Raparachi Vat Bhagavatam Ki Jai.